From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning. Focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. And we're pleased and honored to have Mike Allison join us. Good morning.
Good morning and happy Easter, Bob.
Pull that mic just a
happy
little closer.
Happy Easter to you.
Happy Easter to you, too.
Thank you.
I was telling somebody the other day, I said, I ate more jelly beans.
Yeah.
I know it's not what Easter's about, just happened. My kids were putting my teenage kids, and they were going to be a bunch of little cousins.
Right.
And they were putting the jelly beans in the plastic eggs to hide.
Right.
And so I just happened to be sitting at the table reading the paper or something, and here are all these jelly beans everywhere. And those black ones, I remember they were pretty good. They're licorice. Just eat one. I'll just have one.
Can't do it.
Yeah.
Can't have
like
one.
Ronald Reagan.
That's right. It's funny. Gabe and I were just talking, and so I've got three grandkids now, so it was a lot of fun doing the egg hunt.
Yeah.
And we did the plastic eggs, too.
Yeah.
But we were saying, you know, when I was a kid, we had the real eggs.
The real eggs,
so
I know.
Right. So I'd hide them. You know, you'd hide them and be like, okay. Well, there were 18.
I know.
We found 14.
I know. And pretty soon you're going to find the other four,
well,
but you're not going to be happy about it.
The dog did it. Yeah, exactly. So a lot of fun. And of course, man, we went to my family went to the Easter Vigil, St. Mel, and it was so beautiful.
I don't believe a relative, even though my mom was a convert, but it was before I was born. But I've gone to the Vigil Mass, and I've said it's the only time I've cried when it didn't involve a family member of mine, because it is so beautiful to see these people coming in the church and their families and their sponsors.
We had a baptism of a family, and there was a woman who was came into the church last Easter Vigil, came in through the RCIA. They had a baby. The baby was baptized this year at the Easter Vigil. And I teased him. I said, you know, a little tradition in the Catholic, you need to have a novena of babies. So for 9 years, you'll be bringing babies to the Easter. She says, well, I don't know about that.
That's great.
It was fun, but it was beautiful. It was beautiful. And so, the light of Christ coming in, that Easter Paschal candle, and a summary of the history of our salvation through, four, five, six readings.
Yeah.
It's just so wonderful. And my wife and I said, we're so happy we're Catholic.
This is so
beautiful.
It's really funny when you said Paschal. I was watching the Villanova game last night, and we got a double Catholic final national champs. We got Notre Dame. We got Villanova.
Yeah, pretty awesome.
And the players have the names on their back. One of the Villanova's players was Paschal.
Oh, really?
I'm going, and of course,
sure.
The women's Final Four was actually on Easter Sunday.
Right.
And the men was the day after. And I saw Paschal. That's not possible.
And that was the last name.
That was his last name.
Yeah, I've never heard that last name.
I think it had a double L.
Okay.
But it was, I was like, I'd never heard that name before.
No.
I thought, is somebody playing a joke on us here?
That's great. Yeah. So it's good. Good. Yeah. It's just such a beautiful time of year. And what's really nice is we can say Happy Easter for, 50 days?
Right. Yeah.
and somebody said to me this morning as I was leaving work and heading over, they said, I hear a couple guys talk, how was your Easter? Oh, it was okay. Mine was pretty good. I said, they were all good for everybody.
Yeah.
Just not everybody knew it.
That's right. It's really interesting because I was watching one of those news shows where they bring about four talking heads on. And the one guy, when they said goodbye to him and thanked him for his expertise in whatever field it was, it wasn't a minister, was it?
Mm-hmm.
He said, Happy Resurrection Day.
Thought,
wow, that's pretty good just on a secular news program.
Sure, makes you think. I like that.
Yeah, and you're right. It was a good day for everybody, no matter whether they thought it was or wasn't.
You just might not know it, but you'll have the opportunity to know it.
It's interesting, of course, St. Valentine's Day was Ash Wednesday.
Yeah, that's right.
And Easter was April Fool's Day.
Yeah.
And our priest said, that the resurrection is not an April Fool's Day,
yeah.
But I remember thinking, those are you know, Valentine's Day and April Fool's Day when you're a kid that, they're kind of big deals.
Right.
And they sort of remain big deals. My wife and I always like to do something on April Fool's Day, usually involving food or something, make something look like it's not, you know, to fool the kids. But the, I thought, I don't ever remember that happening, April Fool's Day and Easter. And they'd both have to be the same because it's the same amount of time.
Right.
And I looked it up finally, and it was a year before I was born. The last time it happened.
I was going to say that was a long time ago, but I won't say that.
Yeah, that's right. It was. It was a while ago.
It was a while ago, though. Yeah.
But you could, I think George Washington was president. But,
but I doubt that.
It's really interesting, though, that just the conjunction of it. And it was like, it's one of those, I think it's God's April Fool joke.
Yeah.
The world was more aware of it.
Yeah.
Because it got mentioned a lot.
April Fool's Day and Easter Sunday.
People were a lot more aware of Easter Sunday this year.
Wow. Yeah. That's really great. It came so fast. It was a fast Lent.
It seemed like a fast Lent.
To me, I just couldn't believe it. But it's, you enter into Lent. My experiences, and you offer things up and you give things up, and some people, they want to know, what did you give up? I don't like to tell people because it's like stuff.
Yeah, so, what's it say in the Bible about don't put on the sackcloth and let everybody know how I'm fasting?
Yeah, but it's amazing how the Lord carries you through that, and it really doesn't even feel like a burden. It's a grace, and it's almost like it went too fast, But if we can carry some of those habits and practices and love and just keep growing each year through that, and just through basic disciplines, it's beautiful.
Yeah, no, it is. As I say to the kids on giving up meat on Friday, which we grew up with, I grew up with every Friday you gave,
right.
And it wasn't, it was never hard, except on Friday you'd start thinking about, especially if you were a high school kid and you're going to the football game and everybody's eating hot dogs.
Right.
Then you'd think about, what a hot dog.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
But it's certainly not hard to do.
There was a priest that shared with us some thoughts about, when you're fasting on something, you're feasting on something else. So aside from food, you could fast from gossiping and feast on encouragement.
Yeah.
Or fast from, whatever that vice might be, and you take that virtue and you plug that in, and that's a great way to feast and fast.
The church has emphasized, even though we still have the fasting regulations and the abstinence, and people confuse those. The abstinence is abstinence from meat, and even explaining to our youngest, he said, fish. That's not meat? And I said, it's just, chicken's meat. So we started going through it, What about alligator? I went, oh.
Yeah.
Or turtle.
Yeah.
All these things that people eat, turtle soup.
Right.
And you start going, the rattlesnake, and all these things you go through, and you go, no, that's probably meat. Nope.
That's probably not meat.
That's probably not meat. What about... a whale.
Yeah, right.
It's
sure.
It's a fish.
Sure.
No, it's not.
And
it's
every
mammal
can swim for a little, I suppose.
I suppose
some longer than others.
I can do a couple of laps.
A little bit. But I guess I'm meat.
So it is interesting because you go, what is it about this salmon or lobster?
Yeah.
Which lobster's not exactly a sacrifice.
No. It's funny. No. The fast food places, they're on to, this is Catholic, this is Lent. Four McFillets for the dollar.
Exactly.
Okay.
Or the grocery ads always come out on Wednesday. Well, Ash Wednesday's Wednesday, and it will say celebrate Lent.
Lobster's on sale. Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But
well, it's a great...
It's nice to be misunderstood a little bit.
Well, it forces, like you said, the awareness, like April 1st, forces questions and, gives you opportunities.
The real sad, the tragic thing that struck me so poignantly, the Parkland shooting in Florida, which was on Ash Wednesday.
Yeah.
And the one picture that was on every front page in the country was one woman, both adults, probably of students, embracing each other. They weren't identified, and you didn't know if they lost a child or not. And the one woman just very prominently had the ashes on her forehead.
Wow, wow.
You know, and it was on every, it was the iconic picture from the event.
Yeah,
you know,
of, yeah.
And I, so that, that it just really, it just went right through my heart.
Mm, yeah, that's powerful. Yeah,
yeah. So.
Yeah, those images that, that, you know, that point to something true. Yeah. And that, that woman's faith, you know, that's, yeah, wow.
Yeah.
Well.
So you want to talk about our event a little?
Yeah,
huh?
We got an event coming up.
Yeah,
here.
We have. We're really blessed at St. Mel. I'll tell you, we've been 6 years at this now, and it's our annual Men's Day of Faith Renewal. And what we've been doing, Bob, over the years now, is because we get real powerful speakers that come in.
Yeah.
Our event. I should give the date of our event. There's two kind of related events, both of which are going to feature Alan Hunt.
Mm-hmm.
Alan Hunt is. Is with Dynamic Catholic.
Right.
He's a co-partner with Matthew Kelly.
Right.
So we have our event for the men on Saturday, April 14th, that goes all morning from 8 o'clock till 3:30. But because, and I'll cover some details there, but because we have Alan, we like to open that up to the whole parish and to the diocese, to friends and family. So Friday, we always host an evening.
Right.
And so on Friday evening, on Friday, April 13th, we're having what's called a Friends and Family Night hosted by the Men's Day of Faith Renewal. It's all free. We're going to have at beginning at 7 o'clock, we're so blessed to have Aaron Thompson. He's our new music director, and he's a recording artist. I forget where he was, in Pennsylvania, I think, before coming to our parish. He's been interviewed on EWTN. He's done albums. He's done a lot. He's real popular in Christian Catholic circles. And he's our minister, and he's amazing. You know, he'd be the first one to say it's not about him.
Yeah.
He elevates our ears with joy and our hearts to the things of God, and really brings to that liturgical experience, you know, a sense of holiness, and you get more people singing and participating in the Mass. So he's going to help us out. He's going to open up Friday, do a little 30-minute maybe mini concert with Alan, Aaron. And then Alan's going to give his testimony of his conversion story from being one of the senior pastor to one of the largest Methodist churches in the country. It was back in, I think it was in Kentucky, I believe. And 15,000 people a week there.
Wow.
And he had a conversion. He might share that story. I think he's going to get in here next week and he'll probably share that story.
Yeah.
So I don't want to steal his thunder. But basically, some nuns that he was giving a talk to, he had befriended a priest, and a priest asked him to help give some talks.
Mm-hmm.
He said, sure, I'll do that. He says, because we share a lot in common in our faith. And he says, let's go teach about God. And so they went into a Carmelite monastery.
Oh, wow.
And I think they did, I don't know how many days they did like these conferences, and a little nun confronted him at the end. I shouldn't say confront him, but said, you seem Catholic.
Oh, wow.
And they put some questions to him about the Eucharist. And anyhow, that was a seed. And like I said, I don't want to steal his thunder, but he came to know the truths of the Catholic faith. And he came into the church, I think it was in 2008 on the Feast of the Epiphany.
Oh, wow.
Is when he came into the Catholic Church. And now he's on fire and you know, bringing others and helping others to
understand
their faith.
My mom was a convert. You know, if you were a little kid and you thought about missing Mass, it was mom that was getting you out of bed.
Yeah. Well, the topic of Alan's talk is called The Eternal Treasures of the Catholic Faith, which to me, you know, we have these. If you're Catholic, we have these. They exist. And what is it that drew him to our faith that we perhaps take for granted, you know? And it's, you know, we call our event the Men's Day of Faith Renewal.
Right.
And that is, you know, whether you've been Catholic your whole life, or maybe you're struggling with your faith, or maybe you don't go to Mass all the time, maybe you're not Catholic, we're all called to that daily renewal.
Right.
So when you look at this event, it's a one-day thing, but it is a renewal. And we find, you know, strength in being together as men. You know, that unity that Christ calls us to. In fact, we had Sunday at Easter, Father Aldrin allowed us to make a little quick announcement at the end. And I'd asked all the men to stand up. All the men, 18-year-old, would you just stand up, please, for a moment to the end of Mass? A couple, 250 men, 300 men stood up. And I said, one act of standing, men, points to the truth that we're all sons of the same Father.
Mm.
And we're all brothers in Christ.
And this is the unity we're called to, and to encourage one another. So let's stand together on April 14th, and let's see what the Lord has in store for us. Let's pray for each other. Let's build each other up, and let's recognize that unity that exists, and let's start with our parish, you know. And so,
I like how you put that, that we're here to encourage one another.
Yeah.
Because sometimes that's all it takes.
Yeah.
Hey, we're going to Mass, or we're going to a fish fry at the parish,
yeah,
or something, you know.
Right.
Why don't you come along?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Just being
the choir's, you know, looking for somebody with your voice. You know?
Yeah. Meet people where they're at, you know, yeah, and just, I think you befriend people, you know, I mean, if you go after people and your goal right out of the gate is seeking conversion, yeah, there's a hierarchy of relationships, you know,
exactly.
And it's this friendship and not, again, to the point of my goal is I'm being your friend because I want to do something else.
Right.
I want, you know, be a friend and you build trust and it's not, we learn from one another, you know,
yeah,
and I think the world, you know, it's real easy to discourage and, you know, we should be blessing one another, you know, instead of cursing.
Indeed.
But so this event, I'll just make sure I cover the details here. So Friday is a free event. That's April 13th, 7 o'clock at night. We'll start with Aaron is going to do the music. Alan's going to give that conversion story. And then we do this every year is Leatherby's ice cream for everybody, free.
Is there any cause that they do not donate ice cream to? It's amazing.
I don't know. You know, they're wonderful. They've been a great partner. We actually help. We don't expect them to give it every year. So we help with that and offset some of those costs with them too. But they're generous. They're so generous with us with it. So, you know. Why would you not take advantage of the Leatherby family in our diocese?
Well, it's Friday the 13th, but if Leatherby's ice cream is going to be there, you know it's not bad luck.
No, it's not at all. That's not at all. So so that'll be that evening, and then hopefully there'll be men there too that might say, you know, I this was great, and they sign up for our event Saturday. Now, that event's free.
Now, will this be in the church or the hall?
Well, this is going to be in the hall.
Okay.
Across the street. Across the street,
yeah,
right across the street, a beautiful hall. In fact, I think you would mention it yesterday, talking to somebody about our hall.
Right.
And it's a great venue for this, And that's the same place that the Men's Day of Faith Renewal will be on Saturday morning.
Right.
Actually, we do start in the church because we begin with a rosary prior to Mass.
Mm-hmm.
Then at 8:30, we have our Mass, and that's our regular Mass for Saturday.
For Saturday morning, yeah.
So it's really powerful testimony when we usually have about 200 men, mm-hmm, 200 plus men. We've been both sides of that number, but when we all sing together, we're all praising, we're all at Mass together, it's a great witness to the rest of the parish.
Yeah.
And people have come out and said, that was amazing, you know, to see men. So kind of that encouragement, mm-hmm, again. So we have Mass, and then we go over to the hall, and we have continental breakfast, you know, fruit and coffee and rolls and, you know, substantial.
Right.
Eggs Benedict, but we make up for it at lunch. We'll have inspirational talks. We'll have three talks by Alan, and different from the night before, but he's going to talk about the meal, the man, and the mission. And he's going to talk about the meal, the centerpiece of your faith, of course, the Eucharist, and his experience coming from a Protestant background, and the man, the one who takes you home. And then, you know, you go to these conferences, and then how do you put it in play? So he's going to talk about what do you do about that.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty powerful. And then we do have our traditional lunch hosted by Hannibal's, which is pulled pork lunch. We have, I can't remember if it's chicken or tri-tip. We always have the pork and salads, and it's fantastic. We usually have some ice cream left from the night before. not much. But and then we have 6 or 7 priests this year, every year. So we have the opportunity for confessions. We usually have 100, 150 guys go to confession. And, you know, in fact, as I was talking how we're on time, but I pulled a few quotes, I thought, last night from men that have said. One guy says, excellent speakers, great topics and presentations, beautiful to start the day with the rosary, wonderful to have the opportunity for confession. And we've had men that haven't gone for a long time. A young man said, I didn't really know what to expect. My father wanted me to join him this day. This has opened my eyes and brought me closer to God and my faith. And a guy says, I've been attending St. Mel's Men's Day of Faith Renewal. I've come to expect nothing but the most excellent retreats and speakers. And another says, this retreat offered me reassurance of my faith along with powerful motivation to mend my shortcomings of being a Catholic man.
Mm.
So powerful stuff that the Lord does. We just make the flyers, you know, and the Holy Spirit's doing all the work from there.
The first three letters of mend is men.
That's right. That's right.
So bless me, Father, for I have sinned. I hid a gallon of Leatherby's ice cream in the back of the freezer. <That's right. laughs> So we had some left for Saturday.
Oh, is that a sin? Oh,
it's not
okay.
A sin.
Oh.
I don't think it's a sin.
Oh, okay. It's eating it.
It's eating it. That's right.
Having it in the freezer is fine.
That's right. That's right. Indeed. Indeed. Yeah. Wow, that's wonderful. Wonderful. And how can people sign up? Do you
perfect.
Want them to sign up ahead of time? Or?
Oh, yeah. It helps, you know, yeah. because it helps us with planning and sure. food and so forth. We've never been short on food, but it does help with planning. It's $40 for this day at the door. That we're not trying to make money. We're trying to make disciples, you
right.
know. And so $40 covers our cost. We don't turn anyone away for financial reasons. We have a stipend that's covered for all that. So if you sign up, I'll give this clearly on the website.
And the Friday night for the whole family is free.
That's free, and you don't right. have to sign up. Just right. show up and bring anybody.
Right.
You do. We would like you to sign up. SMPCEvents.org. So that's SMP is St. Mel Parish Center, if that helps you. SMPCEvents.org. And you go to that website, all the details will be there. You can sign up online. There's forms you can print if you're more comfortable, and you can mail that in to us or bring it to the church. There's phone number on there too. And it is. If you show up at the door, you haven't signed up. It's $45 at the door when you show up, because we get a pretty full house, so the
right.
planning does help. So
right.
smpcevents.org really helps us.
Very good, Mike. So, always a joy to see you.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Bob. It's a great thing that you let us come on here. So praise God. Thanks, Bob.
Yeah, thank you. We'll take a quick break. Back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. You can drop by and shop at their thrift store, 2275 Watt Avenue. It's open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, furniture, appliances, clothing, books, and everyday household items. You can give them a call, 916-972-1212. We'd also like to thank the kind and dedicated folks at Associated Sound for all their help in keeping all our equipment running with their excellent sound assistant and technical expertise. When it comes to sound, Associated Sound is the only name you need to know. Give them a call. They're at 916-649-8040 or go online at associatedsound.com. Well, located in Citrus Heights, Christ the King has served Northern California in the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years. Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King as the jewel of the diocese, a wonderful retreat center. They have parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. You can give them a call, 916-725-4720. That's 916-725-4720. Or visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights.
This is Julie Sly, editor of Atlet Herald Magazine, and you're listening to The Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
That's me. Welcome back. And we're pleased to welcome in James Kavanaugh, director of the Office of Worship and Prayer. James, good morning.
Good morning and happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you. You can say that for how much longer?
Oh, gosh, what, another 45 days?
Yeah, something like that, yeah. All the way to Pentecost?
That's right, all the way through Pentecost, yep.
So 50 days.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. You survived Easter Sunday?
Yes, sir.
Holy
yeah, it was beautiful, you know, the sacred 3 days, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Easter Vigil, Easter Sunday. Yeah, did the whole nine yards.
I told my kids as we were walking into Mass, I said, remember, for the priest, this is their Super Bowl.
That's right.
You know, I said, actually, for us, it's our Super Bowl.
That's right.
But
Super Bowl of the Christian year.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, you know, the reading's coming up this next Sunday, which is the second Sunday of Easter, Divine Mercy Sunday, brings up an interesting topic for us,
mm-hmm.
and that is the subject of faith, belief, because it's always includes the story of Thomas,
mm-hmm.
you know, the
doubting Thomas,
the so-called doubting Thomas. But really what that reading brings up is this whole idea of faith and belief, and I was talking to one of our deacons who's going to be preaching this coming Sunday, and he was preparing his homily, and So I kind of owe it to him for this, because as we were talking, this is the central idea that really came up, is the whole idea of belief, because we live in a very unbelieving age.
Yeah.
You know, we live in a secular world, a very materialistic world, which doesn't believe in, you know, God or much of anything. Although I remember something G.K. Chesterton said. He says, when people stop believing in God, they don't believe in nothing. They believe in anything.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I think that characterizes our age today, is that you've got people just believing in all kinds of things. But one of them is not God. So, and we all believe something. You know, I mean, even atheists believe something. And also the other thing, I think St. Thomas Aquinas mentioned this, is that virtually everything we believe on the basis of authority.
Mm-hmm.
Because somebody else that we trust told us.
Yeah.
And we trust them. So we believe them. And so you think about, I mean, just in ordinary things, you know, they, especially in this day of, you know, news, and you have to be very kind of circumspect about the kind of news you're hearing and receiving, because, you know, you don't know if it's accurate or not accurate.
Well, with the internet, everybody's an author.
That's right.
And everybody's kind of racing to, whether it's Facebook or something else, a blog, whatever it is, to put it out there first.
That's right.
And the usual filters that we became used to through newspapers, even though, you know, newspapers, like everything else, have slants, and they have, you know, they have publishers who have a certain back in the old days of this country, the newspapers were scandal shit. I mean, they were really political. But, you know, and so you don't have the usual filters, and you get to some of these wild stories that you so-called normal people are saying, no, I know it's true. I just saw it online. Yeah. There was video and everything.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And so, you know, what happens, I think, in this day and age, you know, number one, we live in this world where you know, belief in God and the things of God, that His church, Jesus Christ, the teachings of the church, and so forth, those things are kind of relegated to the kind of the private sphere.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of out. But on the other hand, you know, like I said, people, when that disappears, then people start to believe almost anything. And You with the advent of the internet, it then makes us kind of skeptical about almost everything.
Yeah.
You know, so you get to the point where you think, well, I don't know if I can believe in anything.
Yeah.
Right? And
so
that
we need Father Walter Cronkite.
Right.
who was believable.
Right.
He had that gravitas. He had that. He was America's grandfather or father or whatever it was.
Right.
If Walter said it, you knew it was true.
That's right. But here's kind of the point, you know, that I'm trying to make here, is that, you know, so we live in a skeptical age, you know, where the culture generally doesn't believe in much of anything. Individuals are rendered skeptical because they hear, you know, conflicting news. They don't know what to believe. So what do they believe in? If they don't believe in God, and they don't believe what they see on the television, and they don't believe what they hear on the radio, they don't believe what they see in the internet. And so, well, I saw a commercial recently promoting this local dance group, and the lines that stood out to me was that the promoter of this was saying, you know, believe in yourself and never give up, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, which are great, messages in a sense.
Yeah.
But I got to thinking, those are almost totally the opposite of what it means to be a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, that whole idea, believe in yourself.
Yeah. You're God.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the first sin. Yeah. That's the original sin. Believe in yourself. And then that second part is, you know, never give up. Well, the idea about being Christian is, I mean, I can understand it, of course, from one, the virtue of perseverance, you know, all the rest of it. But to be a Christian, you know, you need to look at the cross, you look at Jesus Christ, And he didn't, you know, he didn't go to the cross thinking, I'm never going to give up.
Yeah.
But he went to the cross thinking, I'm going to give everything that I am and everything that I have for the sake of love.
I'm going to give it up.
I'm going to give it up. Exactly. Yeah. That's a perfect way. It's, so our motto should be, you know, don't believe in yourself. Believe in God.
Yeah.
And
give it all up.
Give it all up to God.
Yeah.
You know, which is totally the opposite of contemporary thinking. You know, believe in yourself.
It won't sell as many shoes.
That's right. Remember, again, G.K. Chesterton said somewhere along the line, this is in his classic book, Orthodoxy, but he says, you know, those people that believe in themselves are in insane asylums.
Yeah.
And, but of course, we live, you know, the doors are open, you know, because everybody believes in themselves.
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting that G.K. didn't try to found a religion because he had so much wisdom. Yeah. He had a lot of followers.
That's right. Yeah. So this whole subject, so the readings for this coming Sunday, I think are very, very poignant for our age. And they touch upon this whole idea of belief. And that's what I wanted to talk about today because, you know, we go to church every Sunday. You know, we profess the faith, the credo, I believe. We say that every Sunday and it just becomes kind of rote. But this Sunday in particular would be a good opportunity for us to really reflect of why do I believe?
Mm-hmm.
Why do I believe? You know, I grew up in a household, you know, my mom was pretty devout, you know, and my dad took us to church, and I'm not sure how devout he was. I don't think he was as devout as my mom. But, you know, after I left the home, you know, he didn't bother to go to church anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, my mom died when I was quite young.
It was his obligation.
Yeah, it's kind of his obligation. Yeah. Mm-hmm. you know, and then my sisters, you know, they don't, the faith didn't latch onto them
didn't
and
take
didn't take yeah. yeah and you probably and you see your listeners probably know people or maybe themselves come from families where you know they believe but their brother or sister don't believe and
you came from a big family it's unfortunately almost inevitable it shouldn't be inevitable
right
but just looking at the math you see it everywhere.
Yeah. So, you know, as I was reflecting on this, you know, I was thinking about, well, why is it that I believe? You know, and that's why I think something for all of us to really reflect on this. And yeah, why do I believe? And, you know, that's a question that only really every individual can only answer for themselves. Because it goes then to the question of like, well, why go to Mass?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why endeavor to live out the Christian faith in my everyday life, right. to be faithful to the teachings of the church? Why do all of that? Because I believe. But why do I believe? That's the mystery.
Well, and, you know, and it is, you know, faith is a gift.
It is a gift.
And it, which, again, it kind of goes against that, you know, believe in yourself, never give up.
That's right.
It's like, I earned this.
That's right, yeah.
I earned it. The reason I go to Mass and I believe in God and all this is because I'm a good guy and I help little old ladies across the street and I feed the poor and I earned it.
Yeah, and therefore I deserve it.
I deserve it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and one and one is two.
That's right. Yeah, yeah no, that is.
And that's not true. It's faith's a gift.
Yeah.
Which is for the self-made man or woman.
Yeah.
That's a hard concept.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, so I was reflecting, you know, on the reading, like the gospel reading for this Sunday. And of course, we all know the Thomas story. But, and how that little part ends, you know, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. But the last few lines, I think, are really important, too. He says, now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief, mm-hmm. you may have life in his name. So now we're starting to get a little bit of a clue that faith comes to us through the word. These are written so that you may come to believe. So that word, which is written down, is a necessary part of faith. It's that seed that gets planted and then and hopefully sprouts and grows and becomes fruitful.
Right.
You know, and faith eventually, when it is mature, does bear fruit. So faith, hope, and love. You know, faith leads to the fruits of love, the chief fruit of love. But it made me think, too, of also the, we had the Easter Vigil and we had all these catechumens baptized. Many people received into the full communion with the church and so forth. Well, if we go back, you know, a year or more ago, when these catechumens started this whole process, at the rite of acceptance, you know, they come to the church, and there's an interesting little exchange that takes place. If the first, when they after the greeting, they receive the candidates, the celebrant says, you know, asks for their name, you know, what is your name, and then he says, what do you ask of God's church?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is faith. And then he says, what does faith offer you? And they respond, eternal life. And so that whole exchange kind of echoes this exchange between Jesus and those two disciples at the very, very beginning of John's gospel,
mm-hmm.
when, you know, John the Baptist says, you know, behold the Lamb of God, and the two disciples follow Jesus. He turns and says to them, what do you seek?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they say, you know, where are you staying?
Yeah.
But it's so this exchange, this dialogue between the celebrant and the catechumens, or who will be about to become catechumens, echoes that moment when those disciples first encountered Jesus. And he turned and asked him, what is it that you're looking for? What do you want? Mm-hmm. What do you seek? And they say, well, you know, where are you staying? But here it's, you know, what do you seek? And faith. And what does faith give you? Eternal life. And so it's through this.
It's a real specific promise.
It's a real specific promise.
Those who believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior.
But here's, you know, this little dialogue reflects something that you just said a moment ago, and that is that faith is a gift that comes to us ultimately from God. That's why we call, you know, faith, hope, and love, we call them the theological virtues.
Mm-hmm.
The reason they're called the theological virtues is, number one, they come from God and they're oriented to God. All the other virtues are, you know, directed to our life in
right.
this world.
Right.
But faith, hope, and love are directed to God and to heaven and to eternal life. So faith comes to us it originates from God. It comes to us from God, but it's also then planted in us and is directed to God. So part of it is something that comes to us as gift, but part of it is also something that we offer
mm-hmm.
to God. Mm-hmm. So it's a strange sort of thing, you know. It's part of it is what we do, I believe, and part of it is what God does, you know, by planting this faith in our hearts. And, you know, the Catechism has this just great section on the whole thing. But one of the things that stands out to me about this whole dynamic of faith, especially as Catholics, because, you know, I've mentioned before, you know, we live in a secular culture, but insofar as we're still a Christian culture, it's nominally a Protestant Christian culture.
Sure. Sure.
And so we're influenced by that as Catholics. But as Catholics, we have to remember that our faith is not merely a private thing.
Right.
It's not just, I mean, it's very, very personal. That's why we say credo. That's why we say, I believe mm-hmm. in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. So it's a personal faith, but it's also a communal faith. as it reflected in that exchange in the rite of acceptance that I just mentioned. What do you ask of God's church?
Mm-hmm.
Faith. So faith comes to us from God through the community of mm-hmm. believers. And in this coming Sunday, in the first reading, the first line in the first reading, it says, the community of believers was of one heart and mind. So right there at the very beginning of all the readings for this coming Sunday, we have this idea of belief as being a communal affair. It's something that's shared by the whole community. And so when a family or an individual comes into the church and they're seeking baptism, what they're really seeking is this communal relationship with God. And even when we, during the course of the Mass, profess our faith in the words of the Creed, we say, like, credo, I believe, but we do it communally.
Mm-hmm.
It's a communal act. And that I is not just my I, but it's the I of the bride, the I of the church. It is the church's faith that is being professed. It's kind of a strange thought, but you think about the church as being the bride of Christ, and it is she who is saying, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that, you know, reminds us then of the Blessed Virgin Mary,
mm-hmm.
you know, after the Annunciation, you know, blessed is she who believed.
Right.
You know, at the visitation, and Elizabeth says, blessed is she who believed that what was spoken to her by the Lord would be fulfilled.
Would be fulfilled.
Yeah.
Imagine if she didn't believe it.
That's right. And so the she that believes, which is sort of symbolized or embodied by the Blessed Virgin Mary, it continues in the Bride of Christ, the Church, which professes this belief, I believe. So it's both personal, it's my faith, but it's not just my faith. It's the faith of the church. And that's why I love this part in the confirmation rite. So I'm tying all these things together. We got the baptismal rite, we got the rite of acceptance. But in the confirmation rite, when the candidates, you know, who have been baptized, you know, little babies long time ago, and they are presented to the bishop, they're asked to renew their baptismal promises. And so they go through the creed, you know, do you believe in God the Father, creator of heaven and earth? I do. Do you believe in the Holy Jesus Christ? You know, I do. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? I do. Do you believe in the Holy Catholic Church, communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body and life everlasting? I do. And then the celebrant says, I love this line. He says, this is our faith. This is the faith of the church. We are proud to profess it in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I love that line. And you only hear it in the confirmation liturgy.
Right.
But it's a beautiful line that this faith, which is both personal and communal, is not my faith, but is our faith. It's the faith of the church.
Right.
And so we don't make it up, and we own it, and we are proud to profess it. We're proud to be Catholics. We're proud to believe. Yeah.
So, I don't know how many times I've told my kids, and my wife and I have discussed it, is how lucky are we to have this faith?
Yeah.
Why us? You know, why us? Why me? Why... You know, why were we granted this gift?
Yeah.
And then you go, to those.
Yeah.
Much has been given, much is
that's right.
expected.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, so going back to the Thomas story, you know, what's interesting, you know, kind of getting to this communal aspect of faith, you know, Thomas says, you know, unless I, you know, see the marks in his hands and put my hand in his side, you know, I will not believe. Well, one of the criteria for being an apostle is that they had to have been witnesses of the resurrection.
Uh-huh.
And on that first Sunday, the first Easter, Thomas was not together with the other apostles. So he didn't witness the resurrection. So in order to be a member of their company, mm-hmm. to be a bona fide apostle, he had to be an eyewitness of mm-hmm. the resurrection. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's part of what's behind his saying, you know, unless I see, I will not believe. Because in order for him to maintain his sort of status, you might say, his status in the College of Bishops,
that's right.
He had to be with them and witness, be along with them, the resurrection of Jesus. And
in today's vernacular, he's saying it's fake news.
I suppose so, yeah. I suppose.
Come on, you guys.
Yeah. But, I mean, it goes again to this point about, you know, because Jesus, you know, could have appeared to Thomas.
Sure.
Like he did to Paul.
Yeah.
Remember, you know, Paul on the road to Damascus was given a personal, private, special revelation.
Yeah, he needed it.
He needed it, right. But with Thomas, you know, so Jesus could have done that with Thomas. He could have just, or like, you know, the disciples on the road to Emmaus. He could have disclosed himself in a more private mm-hmm. revelation apart from the other apostles.
Right.
But in God's providence, Thomas had to witness the resurrection together with the other apostles,
right,
in order for him then to go forth as an apostle bearing witness to the resurrection.
So what are we to think of Thomas, you know, when our Lord says, you know, blessed are those who have not seen but believe?
Yeah.
Where does that leave Thomas? You know, is the Lord admonishing him? Is he?
Well,
he's not condemning him.
Oh, I don't think so. Not at all. Not at all.
But he is sort of saying, that's great for you, Thomas, but the really blessed ones over here are the ones that.
Well, certainly those words were included in that to encourage the generations that came after the apostles, mm-hmm. you and I.
Yeah.
That even though we don't.
Who aren't going to have, presumably, their experiences.
Right. We're not going to have their experiences. We're going to have our experiences.
Right.
And we are going. This is why, you know, for Thomas, what's interesting in that exchange with Thomas is, you know, beforehand he says, unless I, you know, see the marks of the nails and put my finger in the nail marks and put my finger into the nail marks and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. But then when Jesus actually appears, he says to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands and bring your hand, put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believe. And then it just simply says, Thomas answered and said, my Lord and my God. So I infer from that it wasn't necessary for Thomas to actually touch those wounds mm-hmm. and put the finger in his side. It was enough to hear the word and to see the risen Lord in front of him. And so that belief, you know, for Thomas at that moment, you know, beforehand he had to physically touch.
Right.
But when the moment came, seeing and hearing
mm-hmm.
was enough. And then that concludes with, blessed are those who have not seen and believe. And believing, faith, is a form of sight, of a mm-hmm, way of sure. seeing. You know, and we know this as Catholics because when we believe what the Holy Catholic Church believes and teaches, we see things differently.
Mm-hmm.
We don't see the world the same way the secular world sees it. You know, when we look at, for example, a sonogram, you know, and see that tiny little infant in a mother's womb, we see something different than a materialist or an atheist sees.
Absolutely.
You know? Well, where does that come from? It comes from faith, but also knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and faith and knowledge go together. Faith and reason go together. Faith enables reason to see deeper, to see farther. Mm-hmm. Without faith, reason is stunted. It's impeded. It is restricted.
It's not expansive.
That's right. That's right. And that, you know, John Paul II wrote this wonderful letter or encyclical or exhortation, you know, called Fides et Ratio, you know, faith and reason, addressing this very, very question. And is it one encyclical, Veritatis Splendor, the splendor of truth, also addresses this question, because he saw decades and decades ago the problem of what was happening in the Western world and this darkening of faith, this loss of faith in Western culture. And he saw that the problem with the loss of faith is that along with the loss of faith is a diminishment of reason. Reason becomes restricted, like mm-hmm. you said, it becomes diminished, restricted, limited. But it also, it moves in the wrong direction, and it becomes distorted and disordered without faith. You know, in the opening line of that wonderful book, Fides et Ratio, says, you know, faith and reason are like two wings by which the human spirit rises to the contemplation of the truth. So in order to be fully human, we need both faith and reason. They go together. And so, you know, here we have Thomas, you know, I guess you might say he's the founding father of the Enlightenment, because unless I see, I will not believe. Right. So for him, you know, evidence, that is those things that appeal to reason and faith had to go together. And so Jesus says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet still have come to believe. And so now you and I, we believe on the basis not of what we've necessarily touched, but of what we have seen and heard through the experience of the risen Christ at Mass.
We're with James Kavanaugh, the director of the Office of Worship and Prayer. James, before you go, because we've only got a couple minutes, 6 consecutive Tuesdays, starting Tuesday, April 10th, next Tuesday, Let Us Pray, an Introduction to Liturgy and Worship based on Scripture, the Catechism, Vatican II, and other documents. This is a 6-part class, covers the basic teachings of the Church on liturgy and worship. It'll all take place at St. Peter and Paul Church, 4450 Granite Drive in Rockland. All sessions will be on Tuesday evenings, 6:30 p.m. to 8 p.m., and it's consecutive Tuesdays starting on April the 10th.
That's right. And, you know, I've designed it in such a way so that, you know, a person can come to all 6 sessions mm-hmm. and, of course, get the most out of it. But if they miss a session, it's not a big deal because the sessions don't necessarily, like, depend on the previous session.
Right.
So if you miss one, it's all right, you know, because each topic kind of stands alone.
And you can sign up. You call St. Peter's and Paul
Church? Yeah, just, you know, it's free. So you can just call St. Peter and Paul and just let them know that you're planning to attend, just so we know how many people to expect, so we know how many chairs to set up and, you know, if we have to get a big auditorium for this thing.
Right.
But you know, refreshments.
6:30, 8 p.m. And the phone number at St. Peter and Paul Church is 916-624-5827. Just very quickly, the first one on April 10th will be the Liturgy 101, Basic Principles of Catholic Worship. Session 2, Mystagogy of the Mass, A Quick Journey Through the Mass. Session 3, The Church, the Universal Sacrament of Salvation. Session 4, Sacred Scripture, the Word of God at Mass and in Our Lives. Session 5, Sacred Music, A Treasure of Inestimable Value. And Session 6, Mass and Mission, Living a Sacramental Life in a secular world, and that's a sacramental life as well.
That's right.
So, James, always a pleasure.
Likewise.
Great to have you. We'll look forward to next week.
All right.
The Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the good folks at the Catholic Store located at 1928 Broadway in downtown Sacramento. It has articles for baptism, First Communion, confirmation, ordinations, weddings, and much, much more, plus Bibles, books, holy cards, and a variety of gifts. Give them a call, 916-457-1970, or visit them at 1928 Broadway right here in Sacramento. We're also brought to you by a generous grant from the Knights of Columbus Todd Cabral Agency, which provides guaranteed wealth creation for your family and your passion while maintaining the highest ethical standards in the industry. The Knights of Columbus Insurance, keeping Father McGivney's promise alive by providing peace of mind to Catholic families since 1882. To find an agent in your area, call our good friend Todd Cabral. Todd is at 916-997-9999. Bishop's Hour is also pleased to have underwriting support from Catherine Fisher, LCSW, providing therapy and mental health services from a Catholic perspective. Catherine knows that our Catholic faith is interwoven into every aspect of our lives and relationships. She offers counseling for individuals, couples, and families. You can call her at 916-214-4623 or go to C. Fisher, LCSW, at CATHIMail.com. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the Mercy Foundation, enriching lives in the Sacramento region through Sisters of Mercy ministries in healthcare, education, housing, and care for the poor and elderly. For the Mercy Foundation, philanthropy is one of the most powerful expressions of compassion and love, and you can express your care and concern for the less fortunate with a gift to the Mercy Foundation by calling 916-851-2700. Fully 100% of your contribution will support the Sisters of Mercy ministry or ministries that you choose. And what a wonderful treasure Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts is for all of us. Not only does Easter's provide a wide array of Catholic books, both current releases and longtime classics, but they also sponsor a number of valuable workshops and lectures throughout the year. Give them a call. They're at 916-338-7272 or drop on and visit them, 6916-6916 Sunrise Boulevard in Citrus Heights. Well, if you have questions about retirement, Crumley & Associates can help with their confident retirement approach that can help define a clear roadmap to where you want to go. Details are available at Crumley & Associates. They're at 7956 California Avenue in Fair Oaks, or give them a call at 916-638-4600. We thank them for their longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour. Underwriting is also provided to the Bishop's Hour by Catholic Funeral and Cemetery Services, a ministry of the Diocese of Sacramento. As a church-owned nonprofit founded in faith, Catholic Funeral and Cemetery Services is dedicated to providing education, support, and resources during life's most difficult moments. They will make every effort to enable you to realize your final wishes while empowering families to make completely informed decisions. You can give them a call, 855-525-2285. We thank all the wonderful underwriters for the Bishop's Hour, and we hope you will support those who support us. Thanks for listening, everybody. God bless. We'll talk to you again soon.
I was sure by now, God, you would have reached down and wiped our tears away, stepped in and saved the day. But once again, I say amen, and it's still raining. But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through.